We'd like to welcome you all to the June 19th, 2008 Council Study Session. For those of you at home, I'm Mayor Scott Smith, and it's a privilege and an honor to be with you this morning to serve. We'll begin by reviewing the agenda for, and welcome to all the council members. Thank you. We'll begin by discussing the agenda for next Monday, June 23rd, council meeting. Start with page one, nothing on there. Page two.
Mayor, I just have a comment on item number 10. I wondered if we could look this year. Number 10 for everybody out there, our solid waste fees per barrel. I mean, it has our solid waste fees, barrel, right, et cetera. And the question or the comment I'd like to make to staff is perhaps we can look at, you know, the first barrel fee is some sum of money off the top of my head. I can't remember. And the second and third barrel fees are like less than half, which we're not really incentivizing people to recycle when they can get the second garbage black barrel for half the price of the first. So the question is, and plus landfill fees, you know, I just wondered if that's a true cost for the second barrel. So that's something that I thought would be interesting to look into.
Could get that
no, well, something that we'll look at during the year and kind of report back to council about that.
Okay.
Just so. One of those things. No,
thank you.
Thanks.
Page three. Page four. Page five.
Anybody got anything?
I guess not. Page six. I actually have an item on, and you need to answer me now, on 15N, 15 November, the cancellation of the contract on the fleet services, just a matter of interest as to why that contract's being canceled. Just give you that information.
Okay.
Page seven. Councilmember Higgins.
Mayor, item 15R, is there in this a true cost to the city on that new fence around Falcon Field? Or is most of this being picked up by Falcon Field?
The federal and the state government funds.
And Mayor, Councilwoman, Member Higgins, if you'll look in that caption, I believe that our cost comes from a lot of the costs. I think it's, I'm not sure, is the percentage 90%? Comes from the FAA. Oh, great, there's Corinne, sorry. I'll let her answer.
Oh, there we go.
Hi, Corinne. Mayor, council members, it's 95% from the FAA.
95 from the FAA, or
yes.
Is it a 95? Or 90? Is the state involved in this at all, or is this all
yes,
FAA?
Yes, the state will pick up an additional 2.5%, so the total amount from the for the airport, for the fencing, and most of and for the gates themselves will be 2.5%. Now, we are adding some additional access controls to the system that would require a gate access card, and the FAA will not pay for that. So that funding for that will come out of the airport funds.
Now, with this project, then... go ahead.
In addition to that, the FAA will only pay for a six-foot fence. Actually, they'll pay for a six-foot fence with three strands of barbed wire on it.
Electrified barbed wire or just regular?
Right.
Razor-sharp barbed wire.
And
we want to make sure.
Because we don't think that that sends a really nice message to the tenants to make them feel like they're inside fence that they don't want to be in.
Which I'm sure they won't feel with the
oh no, not at all. No.
No.
At least they can get in, but they can also get out.
Okay.
What we have been historically doing with the fencing is we have just been extending that 6 foot to an 8 foot chain link fence for aesthetic reasons, and the airport is picking up that additional amount as well.
Okay. Now, as this is completed, will then the interior of, will Falcon then be a secured or at least
yes,
a limited
act,
restricted access, maybe secured is the wrong word, restricted access than facility, whereas now it is not?
That is correct.
Okay. Councilmember Higgins, that answer your question? Okay, thank you. Page 8. Page 9. Page 10. Mr. Wesley?
Yes. There we go. Item 16A, introduction of Z0832.
16A, okay, that's zoning case Z0832. You just
Council
said that.
Use permit for freeway sign at Riverview. In your packet, we had comments from the Design Review Board in addition to the P&Z Board. The Design Review Board was suggesting one additional condition than P&Z Board had recommended to you. Staff did not believe that additional stipulation was necessary, but wanted to make sure that the council considered that and gave us any direction on whether or not to add that additional stipulation number 9 to the ordinance or not.
John, why don't you explain what that was?
Yes, that the additional stipulation that the P&Z Board, or excuse me, that the Design Review Board suggested, as we've drafted it and shown in the memo, says that the applicant consider alternatives to constructing this freeway landmark sign as discussed during the Design Review Board meeting. Design Review Board, as they looked at it, didn't necessarily have problems with additional advertising, but they thought there might be some other ways to handle it through changing out existing signs, making them bigger, through some signage on the buildings themselves, as opposed to putting in this additional freeway sign. And they wanted the applicant to consider those things before they move forward with an actual permit. We're not sure how we really handle such a stipulation, how we enforce such a stipulation. We don't necessarily see a benefit of adding that to the list of stipulations. But again, wanted to bring that to your attention before you introduce this ordinance on Monday about which list of stipulations you wanted attached.
That seems like a fairly broad stipulation. That,
can we remove it? Keep it on the consent?
Yeah, yes. I mean.
Well, it's not on there now.
Right.
Well,
it's not on there now, but
right.
Have they had, now, this came from the DRB, right?
Right.
So they added that. What was the communication or feedback from the applicant?
They didn't comment too specifically on it.
Which was probably a good move.
They listed discussion. the ordinance as we've drafted does not include that stipulation. So if you just introduce without any other discussion, it won't have that stipulation. But wanted to make sure the board was aware, or the council was aware, that the Design Review Board had requested that additional stipulation. You have the opportunity to add it if you would like.
All right, Ms. Spinner.
Mayor, Council, we can certainly introduce it with that additional stipulation if that's the Council's desire. In terms of its enforceability, that will be a challenge since it is not specifically defined.
Yeah, why don't we... I don't know that we want to... Well, any comments from the Council? Yeah, Mr. Rich, Councilmember Richens.
Having served on the Design Review Board for 3 years, I understand the line of thinking that they're going through.
You do?
Yeah, actually, I do. I'm not a big fan of freeway landmark signs, but they did some meetings with the neighborhood group, Mesa Grande, and that group has really been engaged in this process through the whole thing. Mesa Grande felt that it was appropriate in this instance to add that sign because of the economic development importance of Mesa Riverview right now. And as maybe some of the articles recently that came out suggest, maybe you could use a little help. So I think this is appropriate at this time.
I sense that we'll probably leave it as is right now. If something else comes up, then let's make sure we bring it up in the pre-meeting study session on Monday. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Russell. Back to page 10. Page 11. Page 12. Councilmember Summers? Oh, you didn't. Okay. Page 13. Councilmember Higgins.
Excuse me, Mayor. Number 18C, we weren't in the discussion for that item. I mean, this council wasn't sitting. I just wondered, I know it sounds weird, but could someone give like a 2-minute background? You don't have to go into huge, unless you want to.
Do you want a background on the license requirements or a background on why we got
on fortune telling?
Yeah.
We'd like to know about fortune telling.
We'd like yes, to read.
And I know there's 18,000 jokes because the last council tried them too and they didn't work, so they won't work today. So go ahead.
Well, right now we have 14 fortune teller licenses that are active. It's been around since the early 80s or earlier. Those provisions of that license do background checks to make sure that those activities, that we have people with the kind of background that we want handling those kind of activities in the city.
We need to clarify one thing. Our licensing has been around since the 80s. Fortune telling has been around for a lot longer than
that. A lot longer.
Okay, just want to make sure that's clear.
I don't have a date for you there, but okay. A lot longer, yes. We have not had any complaints in many, many years on any of the fortune tellers. We did get with our police department and ask them if they've had any incidents recently with these type of activities. They have not. We haven't had any complaints in the licensing office, and therefore we feel very confident that there is no need to further have this license. We feel confident we don't need this license in Mesa.
Is it possible that because you had such a good background check, you never had problems?
It's possible.
I mean, that's...
Well, certainly. Certainly.
And is there, I mean, just, is it cost? Is there a cost to the city for this license fee that we...
It's minimal. There's a minimal license, you know, as far as processing the license. We really don't do any type of... we don't provide any other information. I mean, we have so very few people contact us about this type of license, so there's minimal costs.
But Jenny, we do do some type of a background, though.
We do a background.
So there is some effort, at least from the police department, right? Is that who does it?
Yes.
Okay. So it's not just processing the application itself, but there is somebody has to go through the database to determine what.
That's correct.
Really, this is a council policy, how you want to do it. We've had it in place, and that's the, I guess that is the, if you would, the assurance that this license provides is that it allows us the enforcement that it has to be someone that we've already gone and done a background check on to represent that. And I think, I suspect that just came out of a concern that there may be others out there who are not dealing in a manner that would be appropriate. It may have a history of criminal activity would be a concern. So again, this is a policy of the council. It's that it's really more from that perspective than really a financial issue, I'd say. Is that fair?
Absolutely. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Does that answer your questions?
Yeah. I just don't understand why we repeal something that's been working since, I think it's 1984, your report
Well,
said.
The history on that is when we did a review of all the regulatory licenses for the Audit and Finance Committee. Councilmember Rawls asked us to do that. And as we went through, we only have about 10, 12 regulatory licenses. As we were going through those licenses, it came up that Vice Mayor Claudia Walters and Councilmember Rawls felt that they didn't see any need to have this type of license anymore and requested that we repeal the license.
And I think where it gets down to policy is that the question is, first of all, at its most extreme, should we be in the business of licensing activities at all? And if we are, then what is the overriding effect on public health, safety, and welfare? And does this activity, I would guess, rise to that level where there is a real public, does the need for public safety and public health, safety, and welfare, which is basically our standard, as I believe it is, rise to the level of fortune-telling and incursion of government regulation into an activity that maybe there should not be government. I'm speaking on their behalf since they're not here, but would that accurately describe
yes,
their
Mayor,
concerns?
I might add that the majority of the licenses that we have currently are from fortune-tellers that work at one New Age bookstore, probably 10 of the 13. So. Confined activity. It's a confined
and I think that's
activity.
Where it's the policy. Do we want to be in the business of licensing this type of activity? So, unless there's...
Thank you very much.
You want to leave it on the... Okay. All right, we'll leave it where we are, or it is then. Okay. I think that's it. Next item on the agenda is... appointments to council boards and committees. First of all, I'd like to thank Vice Mayor Jones and Councilmember Summers for their input, help in this. You have in your packet, it's available for all the assignments of the council committees for the next, I guess until we change it, 2.5 years. Any questions from members of the council? I don't believe we need a formal action on this, do we, Ms. Spinner? It's just an announcement and a formalization.
Mayor, I need to check. I think it is upon recommendation of the mayor, and I think it's approved by the council.
Okay, well then, do we have a motion? A motion by Councilmember Summers and a second by Councilmember Cavanaugh to accept. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? It's unanimous and the affirmative. It passes. Acknowledging the receipt of minutes of various boards and committees.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion, Councilmember Summers, a second by Vice Mayor Jones. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Reports on meetings and conferences attended. Councilmember Summers.
I once again went to the DMB meeting on Saturday. I apologize for anybody who showed up and didn't get cookies. Instead, we had burritos. Nobody else showed up up here.
But they were chocolate chip burritos. That was
they
nice.
Were not, they were good. Whatever they were. Another a very good presentation by DMB, and they will continue to have some public meetings as they move forward with the Mesa Gateway, Mesa Proving Grounds project.
Thank you. Councilmember Cavanaugh.
Mayor, the other night I attended a briefing on Dobson Ranch from the commander of the Dobson substation with his staff on community policing efforts for the Dobson district, and it was well attended, over 100 folks, and the department made an excellent presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Richens.
A few things. Mayor and Dean and I all attended the newly elected officials training from the Arizona League of Cities and Towns, intended to keep us all out of jail as we do this job. It was good training. They did a good job with that. The other event I attended was Harry Mitchell's Town Hall on Renewable Energy over at Skysong. And it, the first event they had about 125 people or so. This is the second thing that they did, and it was standing room only over there. And there's a lot of interest in renewable energy and all that kind of thing in Arizona right now, and a big push towards making that industry in Arizona and try to get industry into the community. The last thing we attended was the Arizona Museum of Youth had some of us over to tell us more about the great museum there. My wife and kids went and just gave it rave reviews after they were done.
Great, thank you. Vice Mayor Jones.
And because couldn't make it out on Saturday to DMB, their open house, Councilman Richens and I spent a few hours at the DMB offices on Monday and had some good discussions and interaction on the possibilities out there. Also, yesterday is at the Metro Rail board meeting, and we're moving forward very well. We actually had the first test run clear to the end of the Sycamore line on Tuesday, and it was successful. And moving forward, we're going to be on schedule for that rail to open the weekend after Christmas.
Exciting. Well, I would have loved to have been at that first run and heard much about it, but I'd like to report if Mr. Brady and I or Tadbit, we got in late last night from Washington where we had some very productive and interesting meetings. We met with the Arizona's congressional delegation and their staff, and their staff is the reason. You may ask, why do you go to Washington to meet with the delegation? In a lot of ways, you go to meet with the staff because that's where the real work gets done. We also had a meeting with Secretary of Transportation Mary Peters to discuss primarily transportation issues and Gateway and Falcon. Pleased to report that our aviation program is high on the list of priorities of Department of Transportation. We received commitments of continued support for funding for our aviation activities, which we felt very good about, and we do have support at the highest levels of Department of Transportation, which was good. Probably the most interesting meeting we had was with the Department of Homeland Security, where we were able to, at the last minute, arrange a meeting with the Deputy Director and staff that coordinates and directs Department of Homeland Security, and specifically the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, activities here in Arizona. We went there specifically to get a report on the previous council and the city's request for 287G training, which is a formal training program for police officers as it relates to immigration enforcement. We had this previous council had requested back in March, I believe, is when the letter was sent. We had not really heard anything, so we requested the meeting to get an update. We were told at first that ICE is really behind. They have a huge backlog for training, and it started out as it was sort of a bad news scenario that thank you very much for your request. We have, I believe it was over 70 agencies that are ahead of you in line, and oh, by the way, we really haven't even formalized our training program, and we're going through a transition at this time, which did not sound very encouraging. Then we went to the second, which part of our conversation, which was us very graciously communicating our disappointment with that report, and one discussion led to another, and I'm pleased to report that we left that meeting with an arrangement and a commitment from ICE to bridge the gap and create a stopgap program that will, in essence, accomplish very much the same thing, which means that any person that comes into the custody, the formal custody of the Mesa Police Department, we will have ICE involvement if we so request it. And we discussed specifics of how that will work here in the Phoenix area, and so we're very, very pleased to announce that we do have an agreement with ICE on handling things and uncovering what, in essence, would be covered by a 287G. It is a temporary program. It is a stopgap until we get to the point in time where we have that formal training where we can come totally in-house with that. But for right now, we have the commitment of ICE to cooperate and work with us to provide those services through joint efforts between Mesa PD and Immigration and Customs Enforcement. So we're very, very pleased with that. Mr. Brady, is that an accurate description of
Yes, Mayor. I think you did a very good job of talking about our needs and concerns. Also to mention in that meeting, although it was briefly at the beginning, we did get an opportunity to meet the new special agent in charge for ICE that will be coming. We'll be coming to Phoenix, I think,
July
sometime, which is important because the previous agent in charge, Mr. Pena, has been transferred out. And so making that connection and commitment, and I think, is important. So we certainly look at, I think the tone of the whole discussion is how to make the partnership work best for both of us. And really, I think we found some common ground and some opportunities to do some things, maybe not as a formal 287G, but really there's maybe some things that just from a daily activities that we can almost accomplish the same thing. So,
well, I think what we found out and what we're really pushing for is that we have a need and we have a desire to fulfill that need, which is to complete gaps in our immigration enforcement that we have been delegated by default to the local community, which we've talked about and which is a matter of much debate in the community. And we're obviously concerned because we have this big gap. We've learned and through continuing discussion that there are more than one way to fill that gap, and that's what we're very optimistic about, is that we had that level of discussion, and at the deputy director level, which is a good thing, and to get the commitment at that high of level to fill that gap. So we're looking for solutions. You know, sometimes those solutions don't come in the formal way that you think they will, but we believe we've got a solution right now that we're excited about. So, any other reports? Thank you very much. Mr. Brady, schedule of meetings.
Thank you, Mayor. Actually, Mr. Cavanaugh, would you like to talk about the event for Saturday?
Thank you. We'll have 115 degrees and very, very warm pancakes at a pancake breakfast on Saturday at Fire Station 207, which is at the Dobson Ranch Library. It's from 8 to 10. And we have a lot of interest from District 3 residents to attend, and I hope you can stop by as well. We have many, many city departments who are there to present information. Also, we've got very good cooperation from Fiesta Mall and Mesa Community College, which will have a presence there as well.
Great, thank you. And then just to continue to remind council, we do have a council meeting on Monday, June 23rd. Please check your packets for the start time. We are anticipating at this time that there will be an executive session that will be held prior to the study session or the council meeting that day. So it'll be a little bit earlier start than we would typically do. And then a reminder that the following Thursday, June 26th, we'll have our regular study session at beginning at 7:30, in which we'll be reviewing the agendas for the council meeting on July 1st. But following that, we will be having the joint city council planning and zoning meeting, which will be reviewing the Gateway Strategic Development Plan. So that'll be the 26th. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. We have one request. Have we received any others, Ms. Crocker?
No additional requests.
Okay, we have one request for comments by citizens present, Mr. Greg Merrick.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. My name is Greg Merrick. I reside at 3060 North Ridgecrest, Unit 182 in Lascendes. And I am a member of the LS51 committee that was involved with the Parcel 51 application in Lascendes. The reason for my presentation today is to discuss change and quality development. I also wanted to talk to the Planning and Zoning Board about this, but they do not allow items from citizens present, so I was not able to do that. There's been recently a lot of talk about the need for change and the need for quality developments, and I couldn't agree more. We need to stop accepting minimum standard projects. If that is what you accept, that is what you will get. In the Parcel 51 Lascendes application, in October of last year, the LS51 committee pushed for a quality and complete submittal. We were rebuffed at every turn, even when we pointed out that there were inconsistencies in the application. So we submitted protest petitions to require a three-quarters vote of City Council to give us leverage. We also had to take the unusual step of hiring our own urban designer to develop an urban village concept for the project, which really ended up being the basis for the revised and final application. We finally ended up with a much higher quality application, but it took 6 months and the help of the Economic Development Department and the City Council referring the application back to the Planning and Zoning Board. It took 6 months and a lot of work on the neighborhood's part to end up with an application that should have been required initially. It really shouldn't be so hard for neighborhood groups to get quality projects. At the Planning Board meeting, we heard comments such as time is money, and the focus seemed to be more on processing the application than ensuring a quality project. Later, we were able to find out, interestingly enough, that the urban village concept our urban designer prepared was very similar to what the planning staff was discussing with the applicant in October. However, staff was told by senior management that if the application met minimum standards, process it, so it was processed. I'm sure this is happening in more applications than just the Parcel 51 application. We were also able to kind of find out that senior management has essentially been telling staff that the developer is the customer and it's really not the neighborhood groups, or in case here, the residents of Mesa. The irony of all this is that the direction to accept minimum standard projects to get developers through the process quickly, in the end, cost the Parcel 51 applicant an additional 6 months and at a much greater expense, since he had to do a new application that should have been required at the beginning. If we had not had the protest petitions, I'm convinced we never would have gotten the higher quality project. If Mesa wants to have the same quality projects that our neighboring cities are getting, which I believe we need, then the City Council will have to provide clear direction to the city manager and senior management staff. To make this change take place will require proactive action by the City Council. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Merrick. Appreciate it. Okay, we're going to move into an executive session, but first we need a motion to adjourn the study session. Do you have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Councilmember Summers, second by Vice Mayor Jones. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Study session is adjourned.